This is May the 8th, 2005. The View from Spain. Well, the big news this week in Madrid was the May bank holiday, which ended on Tuesday. We're lucky enough to get a Monday and Tuesday off this May. And because the weather was so terrible this Easter, everybody put off their first special holiday of the year until this bank holiday. And everybody decided to leave the capital at the same time. They estimate the Dirección General de Tráfico, the people in charge of moving around this country, estimated that between 360 and 400,000 cars left Madrid this bank holiday. So what's going to happen when 400,000 people all tried to go on holiday at the same time? Well, as an illustration, we were going down to the coast and we left on Saturday morning rather than Friday night, hoping to avoid the worst of the traffic. And indeed, on Friday night, the news was full of reports of 170 kilometres of traffic all around Madrid. So we left on Saturday morning, and just to make sure that we beat everybody, we left at 6:30 in the morning. Whereupon, after 2 minutes of moving at a fairly decent speed, at about 4 kilometres from the edge of Madrid, we hit a traffic jam. We then took 3 hours to travel the next 45 kilometres, at which point, in a state of complete despair, we got off the motorway and drove into the depths of La Mancha. Now, that was the best thing we could possibly have done. First of all, who knows how much more traffic jam we would have been stuck in, and by then we were going absolutely insane. How could it possibly be that we got up at 6:30 in the morning and still we were punished with an incredible traffic jam? There are just too many cars in this country. So anyway, we drove off into the depths of La Mancha, heading down to the east Mediterranean coast below Valencia to a place called Gandia. And what a joy when you get off the motorways in this country, you find this lovely empty land full of these small villages and lost back roads, absolutely empty, half of them completely rutted with potholes in terrible condition, but beautiful scenery and, as I said, empty. They call it España Profunda, deep Spain, really the back of beyond, I think is the best translation. And we indeed found it, stopping in a small village. We found ourselves a bar to have something to eat in. My Spanish wife was particularly impressed by the hole-in-the-ground style loo, the toilet. She said, "I can't believe it. I thought it was only the French that had these things. An absolute national disgrace." But there we go. In the back of beyond, who knows what you're going to find. Anyway, we got down to the beach. Fantastic weather. And really pretty empty. You ask yourself, it took us 8 hours to do a 4-hour journey. 400,000 people, or 400,000 cars, have left Madrid. Where is everybody? Where did they go? Well, we came back a day early to avoid the traffic, and thank God got back in 4 hours. The next day, as usual, we had the normal death toll spread across all of the newspapers. In the 5-day period that made up the May bank holiday, 41 people were killed in motoring accidents, which, well, 15 less than last year. That's about all you can say about that. Spain has got a hell of a problem with this. Last year there were 4,000 people killed on the roads in this country. My view is that they're just not hard enough with people, basically. If you take a drive around Spanish roads, you'll see everybody driving around on their mobile phone, no seatbelt. On a Saturday night, everyone's completely drunk in their cars, but not just a little bit drunk. They've had 6 gin and tonics, basically, before they get in their car, and they don't have a problem with that. They drive way over the speed limit, and they drive 2 inches from the bumper of the car in front. Now, what's going to happen? You're going to get loads of people killing themselves. And what's the solution? Well, basically, get tough. Find these people. You know, you think, if I was dictator for a day, something one thinks about often in a country like this, I'd say, okay, I'd put far more police resources into this kind of thing and just get out there and find people. If they drive too fast, fine them, but heavily. If they drunk and drive, take their license away for a year and a half and then make them take it again or something like that. You know, frighten people. You can try and make people conscious of the dangers, but at the end of the day, they do what they want anyway. So, finding people, slapping them on the wrist, that's the only way. Perhaps, you know, if they started doing that kind of thing, we might see a few less dead next May Bank holiday. Meanwhile, we're getting up to kind of 28 degrees in Madrid, which is pretty good for early May and fills us all with horror for what's coming in July and August. When it's bad in July and August, it starts to affect your brain waves and you start thinking you're going insane, basically. When it's 40 degrees plus all day, every day, when it doesn't drop below 32 degrees at night in your flat and you're trying to sleep for a month and a half, yeah, unbearable. And if it's this hot already, it's going to be a bad summer. Already we're promised 30 degrees plus all of next week, so I guess we can start getting used to it anyway. Officially, this is the worst drought for 60 years. We had a fantastic winter from the point of view of somebody walking around the city or driving around on a scooter. It didn't rain. I think it rained in November, then again briefly for about 4 days in February. Apart from that, nothing. Blue skies all over Madrid, which is, you know, fantastic winter weather. Cold, but blue skies. What more do you want? But now, worst drought for 60 years. But I mean, you know, another thing really, it's very easy to moan about Spain, and Spain is the best country in the world. But it always strikes me strange that every year the reservoirs start going down, 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 down. Everyone starts saying we're in for a drought. They never have hose pipe bans. Everyone's still watering their lawns, watering their plants. You know, I mean, I come from in England, every summer, just a little bit of heat. And this is England, remember, where water abounds. We were always told hose pipe ban. We'd have helicopters driving around above our houses, checking for anyone using a hose pipe. And if they were caught, you know, £1,000 fine. So, you know, just ideas, maybe, if we've got the worst drought for 60 years, ask people kind of, you know, I'm sorry, but the grass might have to die this year, it'll be all right next year. Well, down in Murcia is kind of the province next to Andalusia, kind of on the lower east Mediterranean coast, the driest province in Spain, absolutely full of golf courses, which require an enormous amount of water every day. But, well, it brings in a lot of tourism, brings in a lot of money. I don't know. We'll see what happens this year. But the reservoirs are pretty low. Who knows? Perhaps they'll stop us watering our plants. On a lighter note, we've had a fantastic announcement today that the Prince Philip and Letizia, his ex-newsreader lovely wife, are expecting a baby due in November. Now, this has caused a big fuss immediately because the Prime Minister promised to change the constitution when he got into power so that it doesn't have to be a boy. If it's a girl, she can be queen. There won't be any problems. As it stands at the moment, only a boy can take over the throne in Spain. And I think they're probably thinking, okay, Letizia, she's 32, she's getting on a bit, and, you know, what if this is her only child? And what if it's a girl? You know, the monarchy's at stake here, so I think we're going to be seeing some change the constitution pretty soon, just in case, and perhaps they won't tell us whether it's a boy or a girl until that's all sorted out. So no doubt there will be some excitement in certain Spanish circles this weekend about this announcement of a forthcoming child for Prince and Letizia. I asked my Spanish wife what she thought about it, and this is what she had to say.
I don't give a shit.
So there we go. And finally, the strange allure of bongo drums. If you go into the Madrid's Retiro Park these days, especially as the weather gets warmer, you'll notice a fairly, I find it pretty irritating form of noise pollution. Some people love it, but it's the bongo drum. The bongos, the congas, whatever you call them. It seems that anyone with a drum thinks they can play them these days. It's a bit, you know, I am moaning again, maybe, but we have a guy who lives opposite us. I hope he listens to this one day. He lives opposite us. We live up on the top floor. I'm sitting out on our roof terrace now, and we've got a terrace kind of 20 metres across the street in front of us, and there's a guy there who owns some bongo drums, and rain or shine, winter or summer, he's out there once a week or more practicing. And this guy, he can't play the bongos. You wish you could tell him, but hell of a racket. Anyway, going to the Retiro Park, there's thousands of him, basically. And sometimes you want to go to the park and just relax and have a bit of silence. But, well, we saw they normally congregate around the back of the main lake. So you know where they are. You can avoid them if you want to. But went into the park from our end today, very far from the usual gathering point, and well, the sound of the bongos. Four or five people with the customary dreadlocks banging away. And, well, I'm going to leave you now with a sample of that, and, well, maybe you like it, but personally, I do wish they'd shut up sometimes. Anyway, that's the view from Madrid this week, and I promise that next time, no moaning. Here's the bongos.